asking yourself over and over again, did I do the right thing? You know, it probably gives you agita, right? You get that awful upset stomach because you don't know if you made the right decision. They led with that, and then they explained what their product was. They got a 13% increase in purchase intent with that campaign. So it just kind of underscores this point that even in a B2B environment, people are making decisions based on emotional as well as rational reasons. And any B2B marketer that kind of, you know, shuts off that emotion thing and says, no, not my people. They're highly intelligent. They're very focused on their business. Anyone who says, I don't need to do that is missing the boat.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life in every industry talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, are you excited? I super, super duper, super duper am excited because we're getting nerdy today with brain science. Actually, we're talking about discovering brain science that drives B2B buyer behavior. I'm also doubly, triply, quadruply excited because, well, I get to sit with Nancy Harhut today, and we get to talk about what keeps her up at night around marketers, especially B2B marketers, and brain science. We get to dive into a really great conversation that covers the hurdles, what does success look like, some hard decisions. There's a quote in here. Listen for it. The antacid for a day of hard decisions. You're going to love that part of the podcast. Listen, we're going to talk about how our brains are trying to rationalize and what that means. There's a whole bunch of stuff. The best thing is that Nancy Harhut is also going to be at the B2B Forum. Hopefully you'll be there too. Let's go ahead and get a word from our sponsor, and then we'll get into the good stuff. Did you know you can automatically turn website traffic into leads with LeadPost? You work hard to drive traffic to your clients' websites, but only a fraction of those visitors convert. Now, you can identify and re-engage those anonymous visitors with LeadPost. But that's not all. LeadPost can also send personalized email, social display, and direct mail campaigns. And here's the best part. Today, agencies can get 1,250 leads for free with a one-month free trial. Learn more today at leadpost.com/smart. So with that out of the way, Nancy Harhut. Getting people to take action is what Nancy's all about. Her specialty is blending best of breed creative with decision science to prompt response. Frequent conference speaker Nancy shared her passion with audiences all over the world. Along the way, she's been named Online Marketing Institute Top 40 Digital Strategist, Top 50 B2B Marketing Influencer, and the Energizer Bunny of B2B Copywriting. The CCO of HBT Marketing, Nancy, and her team have won 200-plus awards for digital direct marketing effectiveness. And guess what? She's just a great human. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Let's go ahead and get into the good stuff. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, buckle up, get ready. Hopefully you had a V8 or some type of beverage that has your brain firing on all synapses. Hopefully you've got that notepad and you're ready to just jot down what is going to be able to drive better, more interesting B2B buyer behavior. I don't know. We're going to be talking about brain science, but I'm super excited because A, I like to nerd out on this, and B, I get to hang out with Nancy Harhut for about 25 to 35 minutes. You get to hang out with us. You get to listen to the conversation. Nancy, how the heck are you doing today?
I am doing really well, George. Thank you so much for asking. And more importantly, thank you so much for inviting me to the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as it came across my desk, I was like, yes, emphatically, yes, let's make this happen. Now, Nancy, one of the things I like to ask some serious questions, but I also like to ask some fun questions because I find it gets us in some really interesting places. And so the first question I'm actually going to ask you is, what keeps you up at night? Now, I fully understand it could be a dream, it could be a nightmare, and I'm actually going to kind of narrow in when I say what keeps you up at night. When you think of B2B marketers and brain science or what they're trying to drive buyers to do, what keeps you up at night?
Okay, well, so my first answer was going to be insomnia. That's what keeps me up at night. But you have a more specific ask here. So you know, honestly, things are changing so quickly. I mean, we're in marketing. Marketing always has a fast pace, no question about it. Historically, it's been fast paced. But these days, I think that the tempo is even faster. I think about the uses of AI, which are, you know, just stampeding on the scene. And I think about how that's going to impact marketing, marketers, marketing communications, our audiences. And when I start to really ruminate on that, that keeps me up at night.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of a nightmare. Like sometimes people will answer that question. They're like, oh, it's a dream. Sometimes it's a nightmare. One of the things, Nancy, let's level set. I'd like to get the kind of foundational pieces of what we're talking about. So when you think of folks who are tuning in, they're like, brain science, that sounds interesting. Driving B2B buyer behavior, that's something that I get paid to do. I don't know if I'm doing a great job at it or not. What in the world, where do we start the conversation as far as like, can you give us some type of overview of like key principles of behavioral science or brain science or, and again, specific or contextual to this idea of that we're talking to B2B marketers and we're trying to get this B2B buyer behavior. Like, what are the key principles or overview items, the chess pieces, if you will, that we should be paying attention to?
Sure. That's a great question, George. And, you know, it's funny, some people hear like brain science or behavioral science and they're intrigued. Other people think, oh, that's going to be boring. My eyes are going to roll in the back of my head. You know, it sounds too technical and complicated. But really, basically what we're talking about is the study of how people make decisions. And behavioral scientists have found that even though we think that we make well-thought-out, well-considered decisions, and even though we think by extension our customers and prospects make well-thought-out, well-considered decisions, very often that's not the case. Very often there are other factors at play that influence people's decisions and they're not even aware of those decisions. And as I say that, you know, you might say, well, all right, I kind of get that. I'm thinking about standing in the checkout line at the grocery store and I buy that candy bar. That's an impulse buy, you know. But it also applies to B2B buyers. And even though we think they're making these very well thought out, well considered decisions, that they're making decisions that are the best for their company, you know, this is true. I'm not saying that that's not happening, but there's another component there too. There's also, you know, thinking about themselves and how decisions are going to affect them. And they're also responding to elements that, you know, maybe they're not even aware of. They're, you know, the way you phrase something, the way you frame something, you know, the choice of one word over another. There are certain things that can influence people, get them to make a decision, to click, to call, to try or buy. You know, they're not even aware of it. They'll tell you, oh, I'm doing this for this reason, and they'll cite this, you know, this rational reason, and it'll sound good, and they may even believe it. But there's maybe something that they're not in touch with that actually did nudge them in one direction or another, that actually, in a marketer's hands, can be incredibly powerful. And so that's where this idea of brain science and increasing, you know, B2B marketing response kind of come together.
It's interesting because when I hear you talk about this, it's almost like we have instincts as humans that we flow into or follow, and we make up stuff in our brain of like why we did it, but it's just like an instinctual thing. And actually in your book, I think you talk about instinctive responses as a driving force in customer action and loyalty. Could you maybe take some time to elaborate on what these instinctive responses are and how marketers can leverage them? Of course, in the most positive human way possible that they can leverage them.
Absolutely. So these responses are, you know, instinctive. So what behavioral scientists have found is humans have developed certain automatic, instinctive, reflexive behaviors basically as a way to conserve mental energy, right? Because if we try to weigh every piece of information before we make a decision, we'd never get around to making any. And, you know, way back when our ancient ancestors were running around, you know, they had to make decisions quickly. You know, you run into a saber-toothed tiger, and, you know, if you stop and think, ooh, the fur looks soft, but the teeth look sharp, you're gone. Like, there was no time to think, you know. The people who saw the tiger turn around and ran, they're the ones who survived. They're the ones who passed their genes on. And those are the genes that, you know, today we've inherited. And while they're not protecting us from predators necessarily, they are helping us just navigate life, get through the day, right? It's a way to conserve mental energy. So we have these hardwired responses. And what happens is we basically cruise along on autopilot. We encounter a certain situation and we just default to these automatic behaviors. And if somebody were to say to us, oh, why did you do that? You know, we'll tell them a story, if you will. We'll give them a reason that makes perfect sense and that is probably part of the equation of why we did something. but certainly not all of it. A lot of it is just instinctive, and then we later justify afterwards, you know, why we did what we did if somebody were to ask.
It's so interesting because we keep bumping up into some of these same words. And of course, my brain is built in a way that I try to hear these words. I can kind of tag onto them. You mentioned these like things that are default. Is that good or bad? Or how do we move past the default or make our actions based on what we're actually thinking? But I really go into our brains are trying to rationalize, right? Make things up almost to make things make sense in a kind of a sort of fashion. And what's interesting is today we're on a podcast. We're talking about B2B marketers, which obviously they're dealing with B2B buyers. And these B2B buyers, they're humans, sometimes a little robotic, but they're humans. And they're trying to make decisions. Usually it's rational decisions based on data and logic. At least that's what we're told we're supposed to do. Make data-driven decisions and be logical in the moves that you make in business. Nancy, my question for you on that is, how can behavioral science shed light on the emotional aspects of their decision-making process that actually go hand-in-hand with that data and logic, but many times we don't connect it together?
Sure. So it's interesting. We do, particularly in the B2B environment, we're like, okay, it's all about the speeds and the feeds, the data points, and people are making these very, you know, well-thought-out, well-considered decisions. And the truth of the matter is, they're making decisions. Everyone makes decisions for emotional reasons. And then we later justify those decisions to ourselves, to other people, with rational reasons. So what it says to B2B marketers is we need both components. We need rational reasons in our marketing. We need emotional reasons in our marketing. We did some work for a company that created a business intelligence software product. And what it did is it allowed people to get a full 360-degree view of the data that they had. Very often you've got data that's in different databases, it's locked away in these silos, and if you're a high-level executive and you're asked to make decisions, and you know that you don't have access to all the information, you realize that there is a chance you're going to make the wrong call, right? And at a high level, when you're making these decisions, they don't just affect you, they affect, you know, other employees in the company, they affect perhaps the company's standing, you know, vis-a-vis regulations, and, you know, so it's pretty serious stuff, right? And so they've created this particular company, created a product where, you know, you get a 360-degree view of the data, and suddenly, you know, you're in a much better position to make decisions. So you would say, well, you know, their marketing should just lead with that, right? That's a great idea. It's like, hey, you can see everything you need to see, you know. But what they ended up doing is they led with an emotional benefit, and then they followed up with kind of the statistics, the facts, the, you know, the here's how it works, here's why it would be good. But they led with this very emotional appeal. They said, you know, it's like the delete button for that voice in your head. It's like the antacid for a diet of tough decisions. They basically were saying, look, we know what it's like. You're making these decisions. You know you don't have all the information. You're afraid one of them is going to be wrong. It probably keeps you up at night, right? It probably has you, you know, asking yourself over and over again, did I do the right thing? You know, it probably gives you agita, right? You get that awful upset stomach because you don't know if you made the right decision. They led with that, and then they explained what their product was. They got a 13% increase in purchase intent with that campaign. So it just kind of underscores this point that even in a B2B environment, people are making decisions based on emotional as well as rational reasons. And any B2B marketer that kind of, you know, shuts off that emotion thing and says, no, not my people. They're highly intelligent. They're very focused on their business. Anyone who says, I don't need to do that is missing the boat. Because even if your audience is highly intelligent, even if they're a senior executive who has the best interest of the company at mind, there are still emotions that are at play that influence their decisions.
Yeah, don't miss the boat. By the way, that might be the first rewind point of this episode where I would say just rewind, listen to that again, and have that notepad ready. I'll be honest with you, when I heard you say the antacid for a day of hard decisions, I was like, can somebody just preach right now? Just preach it, because we need more of that in our life, wherever that antacid is, to get through those hard decisions. You know, speaking of hard decisions, as Nancy, the chief creative officer at HBT Marketing, how do you go about incorporating behavioral science into the creative process to craft more persuasive, again, in a good way? I know some words are trigger words for humans, but in a good way, persuasive B2B marketing messages.
I'll hit that last point first, actually, which is, you know, you want to do it in a good way. So, you know, I'm going to talk about ways to trigger these automatic, instinctive, hardwired behaviors. And as marketers, we always have to remember that what we're looking for is the win-win, right? Obviously, we want to drive business, but we want to drive the right business. We want customers who are going to be happy with our products, who are going to find our products beneficial. You know, you don't want to, you know, win the battle but lose the war. You know, like drive in people, you get that short-term sale, but in the end, they're, you know, they're just not a good fit. That's not good for them. It's not good for you. So we always want to be, you know, smart, responsible about the way we use these techniques. But how do we use them? Well, you know, at HBT Marketing, one of the first things we do is we, you know, we talk with our clients and we find out, okay, you know, what is your marketing challenge? Who are you trying to convince? What are you trying to convince them of? You know, what's the product or the service that you're selling? Why would it make sense for somebody to say yes? But more importantly, why do they often say no? And a lot of times, you know, when marketers sit down to put together their marketing messages, it's all about the reasons you should say yes. And, you know, that's good. That makes sense, of course. But you also want to think about the reasons somebody may say no. Because, you know, that's what you have to overcome. So we try to identify those key buying barriers, and then we look to see what behavioral science principles are out there that might be able to address them. So, you know, maybe you're a company who's expanding to a new geography. And so one of the buying barriers could be people don't know who you are, right? You're not known in this area. Or maybe you're a B2B company and you're extending your product line and you're known for one kind of product, but you're not necessarily known for, you know, this new thing that you're introducing. So, like, all right, if that's the case, you know, what can we do? So maybe if you're, you know, if you're moving into a new geography, well, you know, we want to maybe use some social proof. We want to talk about all the companies or all the customers that you have, because even if you're not known in this particular area, the fact that you've got all of these other customers makes me feel a little better. Maybe there's a testimonial, and I read the testimonial, and it's from someone who's like me. And even if they don't live where I live, they have the same job responsibilities that I do, the same job title. And you know, they like it. They like the product and service. They think it's good. I think, okay, maybe I will. Or maybe it's a company who's known for one product, but they're extending their product line into something new. Well, all right, the buying barrier there would be, oh, I don't, you know, I know the company, but I have, you know, I don't necessarily know if I should trust them with this new thing. And so maybe there we pull in the authority principle, right? People are more likely to believe what authorities say. So if you can get somebody who's prominent in the industry to endorse you, if you can get the, you know, American Medical Association to, you know, give you their imprint. But, you know, we look at not only why somebody should say yes, but we look at why somebody might not say yes. And then we look at our behavioral science principles and we see which tactics we can test that will give us the best response. In my book, Using Behavioral Science in Marketing, I have I have 17 chapters and about 25 go-to behavioral science principles that I have found over the years I return to time and time again because they really work for my customers. So I'd say that's a good place to start with those 25. And there are certainly, I mean, there are hundreds, honestly, George, but those 25 are really good.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right, you can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. I love that. It's like, what's the Pareto principle? Nancy's going to give you the 20% or some rough math around there, the 25 that you need to pay attention to. And by the way, if you haven't gotten the book, if you haven't dove into those principles, I would suggest that you do that. Nancy, I want to circle back around on something, because one thing I do know about most humans, not all, but most humans, is they'll hear something and they'll run with it. And about a question or two ago, I asked about the emotional side of the buying process. And we're like, yeah, lean into emotion. And I can just feel B2B marketers out there going, they said lead with emotion. Ah, who needs data? So I'm going to ask this question, but in maybe an opposite way. When we think about today's digital age, how can B2B marketers effectively use data-driven insights along with behavioral science principles to tailor their marketing efforts?
It's like a match made in heaven, and it's going to make you a more effective marketer, because you can rely on the data-driven insights to tell you, you know, who you should target, where you can find them, when you can find them, what you should serve up to particular subsegments. You know, you've got your target, but those data-driven insights can tell you, okay, this is the best offer for this segment. This is the best offer for that segment. So you rely on the data for that. And then you rely on behavioral science to help you serve up the message in a brain-friendly way, to help you serve up a message so that it will be more likely to be noticed, understood, acted upon, and remembered. And behavioral science or brain science will help you do those things. So the data gets you, you know, really, really far. Those data-driven insights are incredibly helpful. But, you know, it's almost like that last mile, if you will, is where the behavioral science comes in, because it will make your message that much more effective. You've got the right message to the right person at the right time. Behavioral science helps you deliver it in the right way.
Oh, I love that addition. I love the in the right way. And it's funny because when I heard you say brain friendly, I literally had to jot down in my notes and ask the question to the Marketing Smarts listeners, are you creating messages or messaging in a brain friendly way? You have to stop and ask yourself that. I think there's a power place to, like, okay, in our strategy, let's make sure we ask ourselves this question. Speaking of, Nancy, B2B, I wish in most B2B cases, you could actually have a marketing and sales journey, a customer journey, a prospect journey, that you always knew that you were just talking to one human being. And that's just all that you had to deal with. However, that is not the way that it goes in our world. B2B purchases often involve multiple decision makers. So how can marketers utilize behavioral science to navigate the complex dynamics of group decision making as we move forward?
Yeah, no, it's funny, George, because a lot of times they'll counsel copywriters in particular, and I came up on the copy side, you know, write as if you're just talking to one person, write as if the person is right across the desk from you, have that conversation. That's great advice, because what it really means is, you know, have a tone and a personality to your voice, and don't be robotic, and, you know, so you absolutely want to do that. But the reality is, it's not just one person, it's going to be a decision-making committee, or it's going to be your single decision-maker and your influencer. So that's what we have to deal with. And we've got that longer sales cycle than you find, you know, on the B2C side. And so we really need to take this into account. There are, I think, at least three behavioral science principles that I would turn to that would help us as marketers address the multi-decision-maker or decision-by-committee situation that we're in. One of them is the idea of the authority principle, right? We have a tendency to listen to authorities. We believe what they tell us. We do what they tell us. So as you're dealing with your multiple decision makers, you want to zero in on the biggest one, the most important one. If you can get their vote, people have a tendency to fall in line, right? So if you get the most important person, you know, there's less likelihood that other people are going to try to buck the system because, you know, the big woman, the big man says, this is what I want. So that's one way to go. Not always easy, but certainly one way to go. Another way to go is the idea of social proof, right? Just telling people that more and more people are on board. And if you're, you know, if you're dealing with a half a dozen decision makers, if you can get four of them, the other two are likely going to just follow suit because we have a tendency to do what other people do, particularly other people like us. And in this case, it would be people who are on this buying committee in this particular company. They're like us, right? We feel that if other people are doing something, they either know something that we don't know, or at the very least, they have made a decision and we feel safe following that decision, right? We're not going to be missing out on something by not following them. And we're also not going to be risking a mistake because we're following them. And then the third thing I would point to is this idea of cognitive fluency, which is kind of a mouthful of a phrase, which basically means people prefer things that are easier to think about and easier to understand. So cognitive fluency is all about people prefer things that are easier to think about and easier to understand. Not only do they prefer them, they have a tendency to believe they're more truthful and accurate, and they feel more confident in their ability to make a decision about them. And that's, of course, the holy grail for us in marketing, right? So what this means is we want to make sure that the information that we're putting out there is easy for everybody in our target market, the influencers and the ultimate decision maker, to understand. And when you've got this group of decision makers, some of them are going to have, you know, maybe more technical ability. Others are going to be listening in for financial information. Others are going to be thinking about the overall impact on productivity, you know. So you want to figure out, all right, what's the best way for me to serve up the information so that I can get each individual person's vote, all right? And I don't want to be talking to person A about stuff that goes right over their head because they're only interested in a particular bit of information that, you know, and I don't want to be talking to, you know, person B about something that person A wants because person B isn't interested in that and they don't really have the frame of reference to really understand it and work with it. So think it's important that we put information out there as we're trying to make our sale, as we're trying to move people along, that people find easy to understand, because that's going to give them the confidence that they're making the right decision. Those are three ways to deal with that reality that we all have of having multiple decision makers.
Yeah, marketing smarts listeners, I hope you were taking notes on that one. I'll tell you, number three, my brain was screaming, this is the importance of simplifying the complex. This is just making it so it's so easy for their brain and them just to move in the direction, hopefully the right direction, for what they need. Now, speaking of direction or right direction, you know, usually I ask if there's any myths. Usually I ask if there's any hurdles. Like, these are typically two different questions. However, today I'm going to kind of ask them as a singular question, because Nancy, I'm sure there's people out there and they're like, this is awesome. Hey, everybody, we should be doing some like behavioral science ninja stuff over here at our organization. But I'm sure that that equals that you've seen some organizations jack it up real good. And so are there any common misconceptions, myths, or challenges, hurdles, or, you know, potholes that marketers face when trying to implement behavioral science strategies in their B2B marketing? What would you say to them or warn them of?
Sure. So one of them we touched on briefly, and that is the idea that, oh, I have a really, you know, B2B focused audience, a really intelligent audience. They're making decisions, you know, based on the facts and the figures and the good of the company. And we need to get B2B marketers to understand that that's not the entire part of the equation. So that's one myth, you know, that emotion has no role here. It really does. Another is, you know, sometimes you get an advocate within a company that, you know, manages to get a test in there. We're going to try some brain science. We're going to test something. And, you know, it doesn't return, you know, a tenfold increase in ROI. And it's like, okay, it's a failure. And that one, you know, that one test gets, you know, gets behavioral science just written off for the next 10 years. You know, we tried it once, it didn't work. And the truth of the matter is, you know, it's an inexact science. You really need to test, to find out what's going to work best for your market, for your message, for your product. And, you know, a single test that doesn't necessarily work doesn't mean using behavioral science in your marketing is never going to work. And so that's one of the things that you run up against. You know, you want to try a few things. You know, you want to think about, as we were saying, why isn't someone going to want to do what we want them to do? What are a few potential ways that we can overcome that? And then let's get them out in the market. Let's test them. Let's see where we're getting some traction. And then I think the other thing is, you know, people, you know, they hear brain science or behavioral science and they think it sounds complicated. It sounds expensive, perhaps. It sounds like I need to, you know, go out and get a degree that I don't have. You know, I don't have the time to get it. I don't currently have it. And that's not entirely true. You know, you can source people who have experience doing this. And the truth of the matter is, you're going to send the message out there anyway. We're all doing the marketing. We're all getting the marketing out there. It doesn't cost any extra to make it brain friendly. It's easy enough to do. It can be the matter of framing something one way, phrasing something a different way. It's just getting a little understanding about behavioral science, or tapping into someone who's got that understanding and beginning to feed it in. You know, like I said, I've got 17 chapters and 25 different tactics that you can use in the book. There are a lot of bulleted, you know, try this, try this, try this, test this, test this. Here's how to use this. And you can start small. You can start small and you can, you know, you can make it happen. So this idea that it's too much, it's too complicated, it's too expensive, I don't think we can do it. That's another myth. You know, you really can. You can start to use it and you'll start to see some, you know, instant results, which is great.
Yeah. Now, marketing sports listeners, I love that section. And I also am about to do something that I've never done on the podcast before. And that is, I'm going to ask a question, very specific question. Because I've alluded to several times, by the way, in this episode, a good way, a human way. And because, Nancy, you even said in the last answer to the last question, like, you don't have to necessarily go to college. You can start to test it. You can source other humans. You can lean into it. But we have to remember, behavioral science, we're literally talking about brains. We're talking about humans. We're hoping that the people that are listening to this, we're talking to them about doing these things in a good way, the way that they should be used. So I just want to ask the question, like, are there any ethical considerations? How did those come into play when we are going down this road of using behavioral science to influence B2B buyer behavior? Like, what boundaries should marketers be mindful of as they journey down this road?
Absolutely. Great question. You know, we want to be honest. We want to be responsible. We want to be ethical, right? Just because we can potentially cause action, change behavior, doesn't necessarily mean we should. So, you know, for example, you know, if I say, we've got this 50% off sale. If you get in now, you know, you can save 50% off, but it's only good this week. If that's true, my prospect is going to benefit from that. But if 2 weeks later I'm running the same sale, I've essentially misinformed that, you know, that prospect. And that's just, it's not honest, it's not ethical, it's not responsible, it's not what we want to do. So we want to be respectful of our customers and our prospects. We want to help them come to a decision that they're going to find beneficial. You know, when you think about it, we've got a target market out there that we've defined. But the truth of the matter is, you know, some people are going to see our message and they're going to say, this is what I have been looking for. And they're going to buy. And then you're going to get some people who, even though technically they're part of our market, they're going to say, you know what? No way, no how. You know, I am a dyed-in-the-wool customer of such and such a corporation, and I will only buy from them. So, you know, we're not going to convert them. We're probably not going to convert them. But then there's that middle ground of people who could probably benefit from our product or service, but we've got to reach them. And we want to reach them in an honest way, in an ethical way. We want to give them information that they will find helpful and useful. And we want to give them that nudge because there's a lot going on people's lives, right? And they don't always have the attention that we would like to give them. We spend far more time and effort on our marketing communications than any of our target does consuming them, right? We pore over them to make sure everything is perfect, and they glance at them if we're lucky. So we want to make it as easy as possible for people who really can benefit from what it is we have to say to encounter our messages. And, you know, if we do that honestly and ethically and responsibly, if we think about who's on the other end and think about that person as a friend or a family member, would we want to mislead a friend or family member? No. That becomes kind of the litmus test, if you will, for this. You know, if I wouldn't say this to my friend or my family member, why am I going to put it in my marketing? If it's honest, if it's going to be helpful, then let's do it. And let's do it with the knowledge as marketers that this will actually help both of us, potential customer and company.
I love that answer so much, so much. Nancy, this has been an absolute blast. What a great interview. Time flew. I mean, I can't even believe that we've been sitting here for 30 minutes talking about brain science. I want to go back to one of those fun questions that I like to ask during these interviews. And Nancy, just know that the words that are about to come out of my mouth could be around brain science. They could be around driving B2B buyer behavior. It could be about life itself, Nancy. But what are some final words of wisdom that you would want to leave the Marketing Smarts listeners with around any of those topics?
So, words of wisdom, wow. So, you know, I think it would be that we have to remember that people, our customers and prospects in the B2B world, are making decisions that are influenceable or nudgeable or triggerable, that they're not these, you know, automatons that are only, you know, making decisions based on facts and figures and data, that really that at the other end of our communications are people, and, you know, people have emotions and people rely on decision-making shortcuts. And as marketers, you know, it's smart for us to get on board. And more marketers are. There are senior level, even chief behavioral officer level positions at companies like Microsoft and Google and Amazon. You know, so it's out there. Companies are understanding it. Companies are benefiting from it. And, you know, we should just begin to embrace it because it's going to make things better, not only for ourselves, but for our customers. So if you're not on the brain science bandwagon yet, jump on. My book is a good place to start. It'll give you a good introduction, but it's going to make you a better marketer and it's going to make you more valuable to your customers and prospects.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with AJ Wilcox about LinkedIn ads, the myths, the hurdles, and strategies B2B marketers, that's you, need to know, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble, B2B Marketing Human, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.